praise you for the night that you have given us, Lord. We praise you for the word that you exalt above your very name. We praise you, Lord, because I know that on a Wednesday evening, people really want to be here. I thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we lift up Merlinda, just thanking that she's healing from the operation, being with her. And Lord, we lift up the Solomon family. Lord, be with all the children, the great-grandchildren, Steve's wife. Lord, be with the church that he pastored. Just be with them and comfort them, Lord, with his loss. Just comfort them like no one else can. And Lord, we thank you for Jimmy and James tonight. We thank you for James, the healing that's needed, that you would just touch him even now. And that, Lord, tonight you would help me to teach your word, and that the hearts of the people would be so receptive. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say, amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight as we look at one of the great prayers of the Bible, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. That's right after 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'll be there in just a moment. You know, it was 20-some-odd years ago on a night just like tonight when Calvary Chapel was four, possibly five months in old in the Lord, and they're on the west side of Fort Worth. And as I was teaching on the subject of the God of new beginnings, that's what I'm speaking about tonight, the God of new beginnings. As I was teaching, I noticed a lady that came into the church. Then we were small then, maybe, I don't know, after about 5 months, we probably had two people. And and so I looked, and she walked in, and I was talking about the God, how he's the God of new beginnings. And to make a long story short, I had no idea that that night that that woman who walked in from the apartments next door said to herself, I cannot take life any longer. Tonight I'm going to end it all. I'm going to kill myself. But before I do, I'm just going to go over to that little church and see if there's anything there. If maybe there is a God. Well, God not only saved her that night and delivered her, but gave her a brand new beginning. You see, the God that we serve, the God who owns us, that purchased us with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the God of new beginnings. When you think about prayer, one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines in the body of Christ, but that is the way that God wants us to communicate with him. Amen? And there's something, listen, to neglect prayer is to neglect the depth that God wants to take you to. The way God communicates with us and teaches us and leads us, where we start learning to hear his voice, is through prayer. Now, there are over 650 prayers, I believe, I may be off one or two, listed in the Bible. And if you studied them all out, which, you know, of course, I haven't studied every prayer, but I've taught about every prayer, as we've taught through the Bible many times here, but there are approximately, out of the 650 prayers, 450 recorded answers are given. Some say there's only one book in the Bible that doesn't mention prayer, and that is Leviticus. However, if you do a careful study, I believe that you'll find, for example, like Obadiah and Haggai, I believe it is, and Esther Song of Solomon, and also 2 John in the New Testament, there's not a prayer that's mentioned there. But you could study that out. Some say the first prayer in the Bible, some scholars, which I respect, and they may be right and I'm wrong, however, they say that the first real prayer was Adam and Eve there in the garden after they had sinned, when they talked to the Lord, when the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? And then Adam responded, the communication with God. I believe personally, and I feel strongly, that the first prayer recorded in the Bible has to do with Cain and Abel. It's in Genesis chapter, let me read it, 4 verse 9, it says this, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Of course, Cain lied to the face of the Lord. He says, am I my brother's keeper? Now listen carefully. And he said, God said, what have you done? The voice, say that with me, the voice, not the TV program, the voice of your brother's blood, that's the first mention of blood in the Bible, by the way. The first mention says, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me, prays out to me, cries out to me from the ground. In other words, crying out for judgment. Whenever you go into the book of Hebrews, it says that the blood of the blood that's better than the blood of that cries out is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Speaketh the better things than that of Abel. So now you are cursed, God says, from the earth, and opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it'll no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive, a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. So Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, what did he do? He committed the first murder upon the earth. The Bible says he was of the wicked one, meaning he was of the devil. And he went out from the presence of the Lord. And it says that he built the very first city on earth. He built the very first city, which was a godless city. And more than that, it was a city, the very first city ever built, had nothing to do with God, nor were they worshipers of God. And it says in Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, named him Seth, or literally appointed one, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Can you imagine the horrible pain in Adam and Eve's heart? Their first son was murdered. Their second son was banished, if you will, to live as a fugitive away from the Lord. And here, you know, Eve says, oh, God's given me another son. He's appointed someone, in other words, another seed to crush the head of the devil. It says in Genesis 4:26, and as for Seth, to him a son was born. He named him Enosh. And then it says, then men began to call or pray. They begin to call on the name of the Lord. So there is the beginning, I believe, of prayer in the Bible. It might even be the first time that public worship is actually beginning there in the Word of God. Now, before us in this chapter that is so important tonight, the God of New Beginnings, when you read there in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, and from verse 1 all the way through verse 23, you'll notice, if you care to count them, there's about, I believe, 118 names in the family of Judah. Now, if you'll notice, there's not any details. Oh, maybe a few. These guys are craftsmen or whatever. But no details are given about any of them. And then all of a sudden, out of all the names that are listed, the Holy Spirit records for us a single paragraph about a single person. Let's look and let me read it to you, beginning in verse 9. And now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and your hand would be upon me or with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Several years ago, or literally, I guess, more than several, a person, I forget his name now, wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. Now, it received a lot of fanfare. I'm not being critical of the book. I've never read it, nor do I own that book. But, you know, the author of the book said that you needed to pray this prayer, the prayer of Jabez, every morning. Loved one, listen to me. I'm not being critical of that. But the fact of the matter is that that's not recorded for us to pray that prayer every morning. Amen? In the Word of God. We need to know what God's Word said. However, we know so little about the person in our text that's just introduced abruptly, if you will, into our text, and nothing regarding him. We don't know whose son he is, what age he lived in. We don't know any of that. But the only thing that is so vital and so important is that God gave us the content of this prayer. Therefore, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit recorded the content of this prayer because it's very important. Would you say that? Very, very important. Jabez is a man that prayed to God, and he says, God, I need a new start. I need a new day. I need a new beginning. You know what? Sometimes we all need that, don't we? We need that, or we need to start over. And to get back on track and get back down the road and get out of the rut or whatever is needed. Here we look at this new beginning that he prayed for. He prayed about specific areas beginning in verse 9. Look at it with me. Now Jabez was more what? He was more honorable than all of his brothers, all of his siblings. What a word from the Holy Spirit of God, recorded forever, for every generation to read. We're given one single distinction about this man. He was more honorable than his brothers, meaning, man, if there was ever a man that stood out among the people, it was this man called Jabez, and then immediately we're plunged, if you will, into an incredible prayer that God gives an incredible answer to. And I say, Lord, you are so good. Listen now, Jabez prayed 32 words. 32 words. But he was an honorable man. That means he loved the Lord. He was a good man. And it says 32 words. Now listen, I fear that today in our society, the church, Christendom today, we get hooked, it seems like, it's so easily hooked on formulas and instant fixes and so forth. The prayer of Jabez isn't an instant fix. We're talking about a man who prayed in faith. Amen? We're talking about a man who said, God, I need a new beginning in my life. We're talking here about a man who said, listen, I don't have a formula, but I have a God, and he's going to pray to him. And just a thought now, whenever the word honorable there is used, in the Hebrew, that word is found 14 times, I believe it is, in the Hebrew text. And it's used 14 times, more than 14 times, but it's used as glorious, if you will, as 14 times, meaning talking about the presence of God. And also it's used as heavy about 13 times in the Bible. And it's used as hardened 7 times, grievous and burdensome. So in light of Jabez's name, which I'll get to in a moment, and his mother's comments about him, it seems, and I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but there's a possibility that he was really weighed down in life. In other words, he was more burdened than so many people. He was more burdened than his brothers, if you will. He was weighed down in pain. And it says, and his mother called his name what? Jabez. That, you know what that name means? It means sorry. It means sorrowful. How would you like to have a name like that? And he called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore this kid. I bore him in what? Pain. And that word in Hebrew means I bore this kid in sorrow. I bore him in grief. How would you like a mom to call you that? Now think about that. You know, literally his name means Jabez, you're the kind of person that's just going to cause pain. Now, I know that childbirth, I don't know personally that childbirth is painful, but I heard my wife, so I know there's a lot of yelling going on, if you know what I'm saying. No offense, Rebecca. She was really good. I mean, I was the one screaming, but anyway. But you know, a Jewish mother back then, they normally didn't give a name to their child until the eighth day, because the male child was circumcised according to the law, and then they named the baby. But you know what? I mean, if she named him the moment he was born, you would have thought after a week she would say, you know what, it's not so bad, you sorry little thing. You know what I mean? And now let me give you a good name. But she didn't do that. How would you like to go through your entire life being called sorrowful? You just cause pain wherever you go. You're just a pain. Everything you do causes pain. And look at his desire. And Jabez called. He prayed. He prayed in faith. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, you know what? Prayer. Do you pray? I pray you pray every day. I pray that you have a time that you step aside to pray and get alone with the Lord. You see, prayer is only good as the object of the prayer. Amen? And he's praying to the one who can change anything. He's praying to the one who can give you a new beginning. Job said it this way in Job 5:7. He said, yet man is born to trouble and the sparks fly upward. But as for me, listen to what he says. But as for me, I would seek God. And to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable things, marvelous things without number. Now listen, prayer was the key for Jabez. It was the key that turned him from a victim to the victor. Amen? This is what happens. Now watch, Jabez's prayer, doesn't it remind you of what Jesus told us to do, the promise? He said, we have to do something. We have to ask. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus told us, he said, ask, it will be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Amen? Boy, how do you believe that? But you have to really believe those things. Prayer, you know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we have to be believing and so forth. Jesus told us, he said, listen, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks the door will be opened. Now, it is possible, again, not trying to add to Scripture, but it seems possible and it is probable that here, Jabez, he was weighed down with hurt. I don't know. Maybe his mama didn't love him. I don't know that. But maybe his brothers didn't love him. Or maybe he had been going through horrible, sorrowful conditions all his life. Or maybe he was just worn out by his past. I don't have a clue. But what I do know is that his prayer was so specific. He prayed for five specific areas about having a new beginning. And maybe you need that tonight. Maybe you're here and you look like you've just got everything going for you and you're all happy and so forth and smiling, but inside you're going, I need a new start. I need a new day. I need a new beginning. You know, look what he prayed. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel saying, oh, say that with me. Oh, in the Hebrew, that's how it would sound, except I don't want to really make it sound like it sounds. It would go, oh, in other words, it's intense. He is crying out with all of his heart in these 32 words. He says, oh, he says, listen, that you, meaning God, would you bless me indeed? Now, listen, he's not asking to be rich. He's not asking for money. He's asking for God's supernatural divine favor. This is so intense because he's saying, God, listen, no one else can help me, only you. He says, I need a new day. I need a new beginning. I need this pain to get off of me. I need to be able to move forward. Doesn't that remind you, Jabez, a little bit with Jacob when he wrestled with God? He says, God, you know, he said, unless you bless me, you know, I want to be blessed. And what did God do? He changed his name from Jacob to Israel, Prince of God. Governed by God. And here we have Jabez. He says, Lord, listen. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want this sorrow anymore. His first specific, bless my life. Bless me, oh God. Bless my whole being. What a prayer. You know what? We don't have to pray that. Do you know that? We don't have to pray, bless me, because we are already blessed. Amen? What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians 1:3? It said, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has? Past tense. You hear me say it all the time. Past fact, present reality. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen, we don't need to pray Ephesians 1:3. We need to believe Ephesians 1:3. Amen? We need to say, I am blessed. God's already blessed me. I have every blessing, every blessing. Do you really, really believe that? God, help me. Give me peace. He's already given you peace. Oh, God, help me to love people more. He's already given you all the love you're going to get. You're not going to get any more. Romans 5:5, it's already in your heart. You're already blessed. Your names are already written in heaven. You've already been gifted with his grace, sealed with the Spirit. You belong to him. Amen? You are the most blessed people on earth because God, our Father, has pronounced each of us blessed. Not just in the by and by, but here, tonight, right this moment, on this earth, as we travel through this earth as pilgrims and sojourners and so forth. Oh, no. You know how you take hold of it? The blessings of God, the provision of God, you do so by faith. You appropriate it by faith. You go to the throne of grace, amen, where you find help for everything that you need. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:22, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it. You don't have to say, oh, Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Oh, Lord, you see how hard I'm working for you. No, no, no. You're blessed because you are in Jesus. Amen? Now, Look what happened here. Look at the second specific. Enlarge my border. Enlarge my territory. The word enlarge means to multiply. It means to increase. It doesn't mean, Lord, give me 1,000 acres. It doesn't mean give me a bigger home. That's not what he's praying for. Jabez was an honorable man who loved God. And listen to me now. This prayer is not self-centered. This prayer is God-centered. Are you following me? It's so important that we see that because, you know, sometimes we need to be like Jabez. And we say, Lord, when I say to enlarge my border, it literally means, Lord, increase my vision. Increase my vision. It's so small. I've lost my vision, Lord. I need it back. I need it to be bigger than it ever was. I need to know, God, what is your vision for me? In other words, increase my usefulness in your kingdom. Let me do more for you. Give me that new beginning. That's my desire. The Bible says in Psalm 34:4, 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now look at the next one. And that your hand, that means all that God is, that your hand, oh God, watch this, would be with me. Only God can give someone a new start. Only God can give someone a new beginning. Jabez prayed in the third specific. He just said, listen, I just don't want any hand to help me. I need your hand to help me. The power of God. I need the presence of God. He was saying, I want to experience your presence. When he said your hand, he was saying, it's not about my abilities. It's not about my plans. I need you. You know, the Bible teaches us, the psalmist has said in Psalm 16:11, it says, you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Not for just one day, but pleasures forever and ever and ever. That's where they come from, old one. Listen, he says, I need a new beginning, but only your power and only your hand and only your help can give it to me. What did Jesus say about being with us? Jesus said, you know, lo, I am with you. I'm with you until you fail. I am with you until things get really rough and tough in your life and that's it. No, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. How close are we to the end of the age? How close are we right this moment? I look at the word today, of God, the world today, and I say, oh, Lord, we need you to help us in this dark world. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not. And then he gives us a reason. He says, God says, for I am with you. That means his presence. His presence is with us this very moment. He says, be not dismayed. And then he tells us why. He says, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. That's his power. He says, yes, I will help you. That's his provision. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There it is again. That's his protection. That's his power. That's him always being with you. And look at the next one. And that you would keep me from evil. What a prayer. Is that wisdom or not, or what? Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from wickedness. Keep me from sin. Keep me from the evil one. What did Jesus tell us? And remember in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen? Yes. He says, deliver us from all of those things. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. What a prayer Jabez prayed. And look at the next one. He said, that I may not cause pain. In Hebrew, that word, again, goes with his name. It means sorrow. Jabez said, I don't want to be known as Jabez anymore, nor do I want to cause sorrow or pain to anyone else. You know, he said, I just need a new beginning. I need somehow, some way for the pain and the hurt to stop in my life. The NIV says it this way. It says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. What a prayer. I want to be free from the pain. That was that emotional suffering, whatever it was he was going through, whatever happened during his entire life. He says, man, I just want it to be over with. And look what God did. It says, so God granted him what he requested. His prayer, loved one, was only one verse. One verse. You know the shortest prayer in the Bible. Remember what Peter prayed? Lord, save me. Remember when he was walking on the water, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and pulled him and said, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? No, Jabez says, I don't want my name. I want it to be a new name. I want this new beginning that only you can give me. You know, I don't know tonight, but I know this. The church today, if you're a pastor, I mean, if you've ever, listen, the phone calls that I receive are not good ones, okay? It's not like, hey, Bill, how are you doing? I mean, I called up my painter today. I was talking to this painter. I said, because I heard him over saying, said, I'm getting tickets to the Colonial, you know, over at the golf game. Yes. Okay, and you know the guy, what's his name that won? Yes, starts with an S. And so I was talking to him. I said, hey, listen, I just need to know some good news. Did you go to the Colonial? He says, no, my helper did. I said, did he get to see that guy that, you know? He said, yeah, he saw him. Now, why did I tell you that? I have no idea. No, listen. You know, what name has someone attached to you? Or what name is attached to you tonight? I pray that there's nothing attached to you, but just you're doing well. But you know what? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're full of pain. You know, the pain of your past, pain of divorce, the pain of sin. Maybe you're saying, Bill, my name tonight, you know, my name is depressed. I'm so depressed. Or my name is fear. I'm so fearful of everything. Or my name tonight is just, I am just wounded, and I've been wounded over and over and over and over. Or maybe you say, Bill, the truth is my name tonight, and no one knows it's, my name is addiction. I'm hooked on pornography. I can't get away from it. I'm just, that's my name. It's, you know, or maybe your name tonight may be backslidden or liar, gossip. Or maybe your name tonight is you say, my name is hopeless, or my name is faithless, or my name is prayerless. I don't know. Or you might be saying tonight, the truth is, Bill, my name is broken in pieces. I'm so broken and no one knows. I don't tell my wife. I don't tell my husband. I don't tell my children. I don't tell my friends. I don't tell anyone. I'm telling you, my name is broken in pieces. That's the way my life is. It is so shattered. I'll tell you what, God is a God of new beginnings. You know what? Broken, shattered people are the specialty of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:20, Jesus said, a bruised reed he will not break. Remember, a bruised reed was the reed that was out there like in the swampy area, and they'd make flutes out of it and so forth. And if it was bruised and it wouldn't work, they'd just throw it away. It was good for nothing. He said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench till he sends forth justice to victory. Listen, God's desire is always to restore. Always to restore. He is the God of new beginnings. And you know what? Or maybe you're a bruised reed, or like your candle's about to go out or whatever. Or you might say, Bill, the truth is everything I've touched is just turned north on me. Everything I touch goes downhill. Everything I've done, my name really tonight is just, I'm just failure. That's who it is. You know what? Failure is never final for those who begin again with God. Never. You know, I was listening to a sports announcer the other day on TV, and he asked this question to one of those skaters, you know. He said, how did you learn to skate? And the person said, by getting up every time I fell down. What a good word, amen? The Bible puts it this way in Proverbs 24:16, for the righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. You know, study your Bibles and you look back at Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. There he's sitting in the ashes of Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed in 586 BC. Everything around him is gone. The temple is gone. The priests are dead. Everything is just in smoldering ruins and so forth. All the people slaughtered everywhere. It was such a violent attack by Nebuchadnezzar. Even the rocks melted from the fire and the heat. And there's still some of them visible today. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, there was Jeremiah. He watched the Babylonians, it says in the Word of God, in Lamentations. He watched the young women, they were raped. He watched the young men become slaves. Servants would literally, the Bible says, rule over them. He says that they would take the leaders of the people and they would string them up by the thumbs. It says in Lamentations chapter 5. Matter of fact, let me just read a few things of what happened there in that great chapter that he's closing out. He's weeping. He said, princes are hung up by their hands. Elders, well, they're not even respected. And young men ground at the millstones. In other words, they're doing the job of animals in the 70 years of captivity. It says, boys staggered under the loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate. And the young men, there's no more music. The joy of our heart has ceased and our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Oh, woe to us, for we've sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate. And it says, oh, with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Do not forget us forever. How long will you forsake us? You know, loved one, Lamentations is a great study. Do you know what happened, what Jeremiah said? As he was sitting there and he saw everything gone, everything in the city of Jerusalem totally removed. Let me read what what is written. He says this, he said, you know, in Lamentations 3:21, he says, this I recall to my mind, sitting there in the heap of ashes, dead bodies all around, everything he knew was gone. He says, now I got something's coming back to my mind. He says, I recall some things, therefore I have hope. So in the midst of all of this, something happened in the mind of Jeremiah, and a thought entered into his heart. You know what it was? Listen carefully. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's love is unchanging. Amen. God's love, the steadfast, immovable, unchanged. It never, that was a great word. It never stops. It never ceases. His mercies, his compassions, plural, fail not. They never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Listen, Judah was in trouble. Yes, they sinned against God. God warned them over and over again. But they didn't listen to the Lord. That's why Nebuchadnezzar came in. It was a judgment from God. But the thing that we have to remember is that Judah, they were knocked down, but they weren't knocked out. You know why? You know why they weren't? I'll tell you, because number one, of God's great love. But God sticks, he always defends his chosen people. You understand? Even when they mess up, he defends the chosen people. The chastening hand of God upon us, upon them, is proof that we still belong to God. Amen. That's good news. See, we say, oh, he's chastening me. Well, that means you're not part of the devil, man. You better thank God you're saved. Amen. You're still a son of God, daughter of God. Listen, God's mercies, compassions, plural, plural. That means they are unlimited. Yeah. It's impossible to exhaust God's love. It's impossible to exhaust God's grace. It's impossible to exhaust God's compassion. Why? It says there, they are new every morning. You say, well, Bill, my name is failure, though. Oh, yeah, yeah, I understand. We all have failed, but God cannot fail us because great is his faithfulness. Amen? See, he's the God of new beginnings. He goes on, he says, oh, Jeremiah says, oh, the Lord is my portion, meaning the all-sufficient one is mine. He says, therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is good to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Listen, Jesus, in this great prayer that we're studying, let me tell you, Jesus was born and Jesus died and Jesus ascended to heaven to give all of us a brand new beginning. Amen? A brand new beginning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone, whoever they are, if they are in Christ, it says new creation, old things, all the junky things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things are new. Every day they're new. New beginning. God is not only the God of second chances, he is the God of another chance and another chance and another chance. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask David. If you don't believe me, ask Mark. If you don't believe me, ask the prodigal son when you get there. Amen? There he was out in the pig pen, spent all of his inheritance, took it away from his own daddy, went out and lived a prodigal lifestyle, went to work for a Gentile, a Jew, slopping the pigs, covered with filth, covered with pigs, whatever. And then it says that he came to himself. He says, oh, I'll arise. I'll go to my father and say, there's plenty of food. And my dad says, I'm starving to death here. I'll arise and go to my father and say to my father, Father, listen, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me your servant. Just make me your servant. There the prodigal father was waiting. Son came over the hill, had his speech all rehearsed, came right up to the dad, and the dad, you know what he did, it was wrong back then, an oriental man, never ran, and he lifted up his garment, and he started running toward his son. What did he do? Fell upon his face, hugged him and kissed him. Give me that coat. Bring me that garment. Put it upon him to hide his shame and his filth. Amen? Put the ring on his finger. You're back in authority. Put sandals on his feet. You're nobody's slave. He said, go kill that Angus calf out there. Let's have a barbecue. Amen. We're going to have a party. My son was lost, but now he's found. He's dead, but now he's alive. Listen, God is the God of new beginnings. Every day. If you're going to call yourself something, you call yourself a son of God. Or a daughter of God. Amen. You're a co-heir with Christ. We live in a nation. We live in a time when our nation needs a new beginning. If you don't, loved one, listen, I'm telling you, I don't want to sound depressing. I'm sorry. We are in trouble. I've been saying it for years and years and years. Probably like, Bill, you're just a depressing old man. Well, maybe I am, but I'm also a truthful old man. You don't have to just look at what's happening in our government and what's happening with people and the way things are going, the way the laws are changing. This nation needs a new beginning. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, talking about prayer, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and here it is, and heal their land. See, the problem is not the White House. The problem is God's house. We need to be right with God. And the body of Christ, oh my Lord, does it need to be revived today? All of us need to be revived. Isaiah 43:19, speaking about Israel, said, behold, I'm doing a new thing, God says. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen, are you a Jabez? Only you know that. But if you are, our God is the God of new beginnings. Amen. You know, listen very carefully as I close out. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't believe in God. Believe God. Do you understand? Well, I believe in. No. I believe in God. Well, of course I believe in God. No, but God says, believe me. Stop saying, I believe in God. Say, I believe God. I believe God's word. I believe that he will give me a brand new beginning. I believe he will take away my sorrow. I believe he'll take away my hurt. I think he'll change my name. I think he will do great and wondrous things if I truly believe it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today. We thank you tonight that you are the God of new beginnings. And as every Christian is praying here, every Christian quiet in their hearts before God. You know, those that are sitting here, I don't know anything about your hearts, but God does. Maybe tonight you say, I just need that new beginning. I need God to give me a new beginning. I need God to give me a fresh start. I need it tonight. If that's you, no one looking around, I'm the only one looking and everyone is praying. If that's your faith tonight, says, Bill, that's me. Just lift your hand to the Lord and say, that's me. Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. And Father, the lifting of their hands was signifying their faith in you. They just said, it's not that I believe in God, I believe God. Lord, they say, I need a new beginning. And tonight, as you did the Jabez, you granted them their request because your mercies, your compassions are new every morning. And they fail not. Now we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. We honor you tonight, O Lord. And we pray for our nation. We pray for the church. We pray for revival. Oh God, revive us again. The great God who can do anything, revive us again. We praise your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen.